Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Well, we're going to have a great time this morning. If you're not already, it'll get better. And then if it doesn't, Jesus will turn up and then it'll get great, which will be good. But we're in a great series around faith. Thank you so much. You're wonderful. Let's thank our worship team. They do a phenomenal job. Some of the new worship we're writing is just so exciting. As, that was such a great song this morning, man. He wrote that song that he was singing. It was phenomenal. And he's just had a baby. I don't know how you're writing music. I don't know how you're even just here, but you're here. And you're doing a phenomenal job. And that beautiful song of that Geordie wrote that we sang, Cal sang this morning. It's just so cool, just so Christ-centered. And we're blessed to have such a phenomenal worship team. We really are. If I sound like Barry White, I apologize. I have a man flu. And all the men in the house are like, wow, I can't believe you're not in hospital. What are you doing here? You poor man. Someone help him. I know. But she wouldn't take me, guys. I prayed. I asked. I begged. She said no. It's just a cold. The only consolation is I kind of sound like Barry White, which when I sing in the shower, I sound phenomenal. I really do. And I believe right now the heavenly hosts are singing Heroes by David Bowie, just like, he's amazing. Go, man, you can do it. You can do it. But we're in a series on faith, and we've had a lot of fun with it and looking at what faith is. And I believe really the whole world has faith. You have faith in something. Even people that will tell you that they don't believe have faith in something. You got to believe in something, right? Whether it's God or the Big Bang, you believe in something. And that's what faith is. Faith is believing in something that you can't necessarily see or absolutely concretely. And so it's not just enough to have faith. It's what your faith is in. And when we put our faith, we don't put our faith in a process or a religion. We put our faith in a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And because of that, it's solidified into something that actually brings us into what's called saving faith, so that we can then have a reconnected relationship with God where he restores our entire world. But as we go along in life, things happen, doesn't it? Stuff goes on, and so then we got to keep having four things. And we looked at creating an atmosphere, and last week Pastor Phil preached such a brilliant message around having an atmosphere of faith and keeping your heart in a place where you can continually receive. And so many people came down on the altar and just got set free and touched again, and it was powerful. And today we're going to look at having faith too. Because ultimately, at times in Christendom, we can treat faith as the final kind of thing. It's like the faith is the piece de resistance. It's what we're getting to. It's the final thing. But faith is not the end, folks. It's the beginning. And God wants to activate us in a way that we can use our faith to step in to the greatest purpose you could ever have, which is outworking God's purpose into this world. God wants to take what you believe in and put it into works so that we can effectively, consistently live out the purpose of Christ that he has in each and every one of us. Faith is the beginning, it's not the end. Now in many ways, I think faith is the end. It's the end to an old chapter in our life. Once we come into Christ and we believe in him, suddenly we close the door on our old life and all the mistakes and all the frustrations and all of the pains and all of the hurts. He comes and he restores and he heals us. We're given a new direction. We're given a hope in heaven. We suddenly have this great, great new chapter. So as much as it's closing an old chapter, faith begins a new chapter in our life, a new story for us. Faith is the beginning. It becomes our core conviction that launches us into an exciting life of outworking his purpose into our lives, family, and community. And so faith, to be genuine and real, and to stay alive, it needs to work. It needs to be put towards something. The Apostle James put it like this. Not me, the real Apostle James. He said in chapter 2, verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, If someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? Just a quick pause. He's not, just to help everyone who's maybe freaking out, he's not saying that you have to work to come to Jesus. That in some way you have to have your life together and then you can come and say, God, look how good I've been. Now will you accept me? That's not what he's talking about. You are only saved by faith. You can't be good enough. You can't come to God with your life together enough. All you can come is say, God, I trust you. And as soon as you do that, he, what is called, imputes or gives you his righteousness, his goodness. And he says, now you're good enough. We're in relationship. He resolves all the issues of your sin and the things that would have disconnected you from him so that you are completely, wholly, securely saved. Amen. But then what he's talking about, though, is what that genuine faith, what genuine faith looks like. That it actually, by evidence, that your genuine faith has an evidence, and that evidence is good works. So he goes on, he says, can that faith save him? In other words, he's saying, is it really real? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself is dead. If it does not have works, is dead. It goes on and then in verse 26, he says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, in terms of when you die and your spirit leaves, it's dead. Also faith apart from works is dead. A reasonably challenging scripture for us this morning. You know, I have faith that God in Christ, there's freedom. I believe that. But if I then don't live out in a way that follows his ways, the pathways that he has shown me how to stay free, my faith doesn't really help. I have faith that God can lead me as a husband and a father so that my family will be blessed and my kids can grow up in a godly environment and experience the goodness of God. But then if I don't let God lead me, then my faith doesn't really help. I have faith, 100% believe with all of my heart that God has a purpose for every single person in this world, that he wants to restore their life, that he wants to bring healing into their world, that he wants to resolve the issues of their past, but then give them a great future and an eternal future in heaven. But if I then don't get involved in that purpose and go and help people take that journey of taking one step closer to Jesus, my faith doesn't really help. You know, there was a story in the Bible about this guy who's got a son, and we find out later that he's deaf and mute. And we find out that the reason he's deaf and mute is because he has a spirit. There's a demonic spirit that has come on his life and is robbing him of his speech, of his ability to communicate and connect in a normal way. And the, basically the end of the story is that Jesus comes to this man and he's got his son and he says, Jesus, can you help if you can? Jesus is like, if you can. He's like, all things are possible for someone who believes. And it's really interesting. The Bible says that he cries out with a loud voice. Another translation says he roars. He says, I want to believe. Help me with my unbelief. And we go, well, this is a great testimony or story that we can look at in how that, even if you've got a little bit of faith, God can use it. Man, I go, I look at this guy, I go, the reason he's screaming is because he's got more faith than a lot of people. Because for a Jewish man with this son in this condition, this was not going to be a private freedom ministry kind of moment in a little locked away room where two little pastors will come in and we're all very private and safe. This is going to be really messy. This is going to be really public. In many ways, this is going to be pretty embarrassing. But he takes his boy out of his comfort zone, out of the context of in a some ways trying to hide it, trying to cover it, and he brings him into the midst of it. And then he's got to deal with the disciples who don't know what to do and they don't really help at all. And so now he's a little bit jaded, a little bit disappointed again. And he finally gets to Jesus and he's just, Lord, just have compassion. He goes, hey, anything's possible. You believe? He goes, hey, I believe. I'm just struggling a little bit. That boy didn't need his dad to just believe. He needed his dad to have courageous faith that that actually went to work, took his son out, despite what people thought, despite what people were doing, and bring him to Jesus. It's awesome we have faith, but unless we outwork it, friends, James says it's dead. It's the Greek word nekros, and it can mean death, literally death, like a dead body. But what it really means in this context is that it's inert. It's inactive. It doesn't have power. In other words, it's useless. Now, I consider myself a golfer. I don't play very often, and I don't play very well, but I have golf clubs. Now, I might have the golf clubs, but they don't do a lot of good in my garage. I got to get out and use them every now and then. Here's the issue, is when it comes time to move, the golf clubs come up again in my mind. I go, I wonder what I'm going to do with these things, because I don't use them very regularly. And in a season of change, in a season of transformation, in a season of something in my world, my physical surrounded world or internal world shifting, suddenly I begin to question the golf clubs again. I recently took up fishing, which I was excited about. And like anything, I get very excited very quickly and then kind of forget about it along the way. And so then I was thinking about the new rod and reels I want to buy. And I thought, maybe I should sell the golf clubs to pay for the fishing thing. Because the thing is, I know, blasphemy. I know, Jimmy. I know, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. But this is the thing. This this is what happens with our faith. An abandonment of faith. People that abandon their faith and walk off. That's not a one-off deal. We go, oh, they had something happened in the family, there was a crisis, and for whatever reason, maybe they didn't see the prayer answered in the way they thought, and they abandoned their faith. Listen, when you haven't been using your faith, and it's sitting in the garage, when it comes time to move, when something happens in your physical world around you, when something happens that rocks your core, and suddenly you begin to question the things in your life, the things you haven't been using come up for question. The things that we kind of think, maybe I don't really need this thing. Maybe it's not really real. And that's why it's so important that we keep our faith alive and active. And so then we think, what stops us doing this? What stops us from activating and stepping in? And there's a lot of reasons we can step back. It can be disappointment. It could be weariness and tiredness. And can I tell you, there are going to be seasons in your life where all you can do is just have faith. Don't worry about working it. Don't worry about serving. Just turning up is good enough. There's seasons in your life where you're literally just holding on to Jesus, and you don't have any more room in your life except you and Jesus. And that's okay. But it's a season. It's a season. God wants to take you through that season back into an alive, active, faith-filled Christian life that is outworking your faith. Another reason we kind of step back is sometimes we've become spectators in a Christian sport, and we see the spectacular. We see the pastor, Kate and Rich Forsyth, and the healing service and all the things that are happening there, and we go, well, I don't know really what I could do. I'm not going to go and pray for someone like that. I'm not really going to, that's not me. That's not the way I'm wired. And we can kind of just sit back and think, it's not for me. God's given you a unique gift to be expressed in a unique way. And your gifting is just as important as that gifting. It's what makes up the whole body. But sometimes we've got so good at comparing ourselves to other people and how they outwork their faith that we think the little old way that we're going to outwork it doesn't really mean that much. It's like me thinking about going to golf, but then I realize I'm going to be playing with Nick LaGreca, who's just currently like almost shooting off 10 again, and now he's progressing, and I'm kind of, every time I play, I just seem to get worse. And I can think, well, then what's the point? Why am I going out there? But here's the thing. I don't even have to play that well. I don't even have to hit the ball every time. Once I get out there, I'm in the midst of it. It's green, hopefully sunny, not too windy, good friends. And all I got to do is have a swing. And I hit some good ones and I hit some shockers. And in my faith and the expression of my work, you know, sometimes I'm going to get up and preach. And I'm going to hit a good one. Sometimes I'm going to hit and swing and miss, but I'm having a swing. I'm having a swing, church. Are you having a swing? Are you having a swing? You don't have to be perfect. Faith doesn't have to be perfect. Your Christian world doesn't have to be perfect. Are you out there having a swing? Because here's the thing. Once you get out there and you're having a swing, you're having a go, you're using your gift, you're stepping out, you're doing something, God will take hold of that thing. and he will transform your life. And he'll fill, and suddenly your faith means something. So when you're talking to someone about your faith, you're not trying to find and stumble around words of why you believe, because it's living, it's active, you're using it every day. You can't imagine leaving home without it. My clubs are in my car currently, just believing. One day I'm just going to pull over and play. I'm just going to do it, because I take it with me everywhere we go. Paul, who again, at times when we read James, people think Paul and James are opposed. They're not. They're in complete agreement. He reminds us again. He says in Galatians 5:6, he says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything." What he's saying is what how they used to recognize people, that particularly men, that they were the people of God, that they were circumcised. They would step into a religious practice, and that was what they were going to do. And he goes, "Hey, that doesn't matter anymore. It's all about faith. That doesn't count for anything. Doesn't matter how you came to God. Doesn't matter whether you look Christian or not, or whether you think you fit into this church or not. You do. Doesn't matter. God doesn't look on the outside. He doesn't look at your past. He doesn't look at what you're doing. He's looking for you just to have faith and say, you know what, God, receive me as I am. I'm broken, I'm busted, but will you take me? And the answer is yes, he will. He will take you where you're at. But then he says, the only thing that matters is faith working through love. And then he goes on in verse 13, he says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." And now we're getting to where God's pointing us. He wants us to serve one another in love, for the whole law. And there were many laws back then for the people of God and how they were to live it out. He says, the whole law, we're talking hundreds, the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. For both James and Paul, they envisioned a faith that was centered in Christ, that was being outworked through the fulfillment of the royal law. That's what they call it, the royal law. To love the Lord your God with everything, to love him, but to love others as much as you love yourself. To love others. Jesus came into this world, and to be honest, he didn't proclaim salvation nearly as much as he proclaimed what he called the kingdom. And the kingdom is like taking everything we think in this world is important and flipping it upside down. And so that we stop seeking after what we can get and what we need. And he says, listen, if you would flip it upside down and see the way that I've actually created you to live, which is actually all about me and you, a dynamic, alive relationship with a God who loves you and loving other people, you will find your life has purpose. It has meaning. Suddenly everything makes sense. That was what he meant when he talked about the kingdom. It was a whole way that God was going to restore and redeem and is. And the exciting thing is that he challenges believers. He says that whoever is going to believe in me, guess what? You get to work this out with me. In the book of Matthew, John 14, 12, it says this: "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." I'm done my position. I've played my part. Church, I've done enough. When he was hanging on the cross, he said, "It is finished. I've done it. It's good. It's all good. Tag, you're it. It's up for you now. I'm going to go hang out with my Father. I'm going to look after it all. I'm watching over you, praying over you, believing with you, standing with you. I'm offering you an eternal life that gives you a perspective in this life so that no matter what you go through in this life, you know it's all going to work out in the end. So stop chasing after the things you think are going to satisfy you that actually won't. Stop trying to believe for things that actually aren't going to help you and really get your mind fixed on the thing that really matters." That's what he's saying. And he says, greater works you'll do than me. And sometimes the greatest work you can do is the everyday living out the gifting that God has placed in your life and going to work. Jesus needs workers. In Matthew 9, 35 and 38, It says he was traveled through all of the towns and villages of the area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his field." Jesus is sneaky, man. This is one of the only times that Jesus really tells us how to pray. He teaches his disciples and shows to us how to pray. And this is another time where he says how to pray specifically, what you should be praying for. Sometimes as a church, we will pray for people coming to Christ. And I think that's really important. I think that's a work of God, and we need to really intercede in the gap for that. But quite often, we've got to realize that they're not just going to pop up out of nowhere. He's the harvest. He says, "Look, guys, the harvest is ready. It's good. I've dealt with it. It's ready to go. I need workers." Yeah. And so he says, "So pray." And so then he says to his disciples, and he's sneaky. He is. Jesus is sneaky. He says, "So guys, I want you to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers." He kind of has a little laugh after that. And they go and they diligently follow Jesus. "Lord, please send workers. If you pray that prayer, it's going to be like the fastest prayer that God ever answers, ever." Like, if you know when you pray those prayers and you've been believing for something that takes like years and years, this prayer is like instantaneous. You're going to have an answer. "Lord, send the workers. You're it. I hear your prayer. Go for it. That's you. Go to work." And you're like, "Oh gosh. Okay. Well, what do I do?" Well, you know what? In this passage of scripture, I think God's actually shown us how we can faithfully work, how we can put our faith to work. Are you ready? Real quick, and then we're going to close and we're going to pray. It says that Jesus was teaching the synagogues and announcing the good news. First thing, bring good news. Just bring good news. Everywhere you go, bring good news. The world needs good news. They need to hear your story of what God's done in your life. But more importantly, they need to see your story. Show them the good news. Show them how your life is being transformed. Again, not perfect, but being perfected, being put together. Show them goodness, a life that's good. Show them the peace of God that you carry in your heart. And if you don't carry it, pray for it, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Say, "Lord, give me peace, not just for me, so I can carry peace wherever I go. That I can be an advocate for peace, that I can actually carry peace into a presence in my workplace, in my family, in my relationships. Carry joy." These are the things of the kingdom, the Bible says, that we carry peace and joy. Not happiness. We don't have to fake it. You don't have to always be happy. Joy is different. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a sense of contentment. Let's bring good news. And hey, if you're not sure what good news you've got to bring them to church. Because there's a lot of people here who've got a lot of good news. I spoke to a lady just in the chapel. She came up smiling, brilliant eyes, weepy, beautiful. She's like, "I'm 5 year cancer free. God's healed me." I'm like, this is crazy. A couple of weeks ago, a lady, stage 4 cancer. It's all good. God's working it out. We see good news all the time. J. John is one of the greatest communicators of the gospel, the greatest communicators of the good news. Bring someone next Sunday. Let them hear the good news. There's good news for them. Not a news of judgment, not a news of how they need to change their life, not a news of any of that. Just good news that God loves them and he's going to take them on an exciting journey of forming Christ in their life. Bring good news. It says, then he went around and healed every illness and disease. I want to narrow it down to make it as simple as we can. Just help people believe. Point them to a God who cares and be that care to them. Help them see. So offer to pray. I remember when I was working in another field, and there was a guy in our office, and he was just going through some stuff and some emotional mental health issues. And And he said, "Oh, man, I need to talk to you." And we went up to the top of the roof and where the car parking was, and we're just chatting. And at the end of it, he knew I was a Christian. He just said, "Look, mate, I don't know what you do, but could you just like shoot one up to the big guy for me and maybe he can help?" Because everyone wants to believe in those times of crisis. They need something. And I said, "Cool, I'll pray." And he thought I meant like next week or in my quiet. I said, "I'll pray, let's pray now." He said, "Whoa, hang on, what? You're gonna pray now?" I'm like, "Yeah, we'll pray now." I said, "Dude, it's fine, it's totally normal. Let's just pray." It's not that normal for someone, but you just make it normal. And so I took him by the hand, I said, "Mate, let's just pray." And I said, "Oh my gosh, Lord, what the heck am I gonna do? Lord, help, 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 help." The Holy Spirit is with you. You carry him. Just pray. If they get healed, fantastic. If they don't, I guarantee you the presence of God will fill their heart, and you took the time to do something that no one else in the world has done. And sometimes, and here's this, there's a great proverb. It's a great proverb. It says in Proverbs 16, it says, "A kind word is healing to the body." Listen, just be kind. Speak faith into their life. And if they're really sick, and don't come in and say, "Well, God's going to heal you, it's going to be fine." No, don't undermine what they're going through, but just bring kindness and say, "Hey, look, if you're open, we have a healing service once a month. I'd love to bring you." Don't say, "You should go to it. Here's the address. Here's how to get there." I will pick you up and I'll bring you and we'll pray. Believe for people. Help them to believe. It says when he saw the crowd, see people. Now, some of you are brilliant at this, but we can't always all be the Maureen Southwoods of the world who are just so beautiful and lovely and see people's needs everywhere she goes. But that's her gifting. Not all of us are like that. Some of us aren't as empathetic or sympathetic, and that's okay. That's not how God's wired you to be. But what you can do is every morning is get up in the morning and say, "God, just help me to see people." And he'll show you things. And let's see need. And sometimes, I've got to tell you, God will make it so obvious for you. He'll make it real obvious. If you see someone distressed, like we have entire mental health campaigns now, "Are you okay?" Encouraging people just to go and ask people, "Are you okay?" Man, the church should be leading the way in this. This is where we should be like kicking goals 24/7. Like, it doesn't have to be a whole campaign put together by some sort of program. We can actually go and help. And all you got to do is if you see someone who looks distressed, and if you don't know what distress looks like, just come and look at me when I'm trying to parent my children. Distressed people need help. And they're real. It's real simple. There's a need. Just go and sit down with them. "Are you okay? What's going on?" People that are new to work. "Lord, please show me people in my world that I can reach." There's a new guy. He just walked in. Buy him a cup of coffee. Offer it to show him around the office. Be kind. My favorite one is when there's new people in the street. God's like, "I'm bringing them to you. You won't go get them? Fine. I'll bring them right next door." And "Where are they, Lord?" There's a big moving van. Beep, 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 beep. They're here. Take them a gift. Pray before you do it. "Lord, let them receive this gift like the love of God, so that when you hand over, they'll be crying. There'll be something in the atmosphere. It's called God's love for them." We're helping people just take that one step towards Jesus. Just that one step. They're real hesitant because they've been hurt before by people. But we're taking that one step. We're working. Smile. Say hello. My favorite game is, we play this sometimes, is how many people we can get to say hello back. And in Sydney, that's like, if you get someone to say hello back, it's like, you're amazing. And we once played this game, and it was like, it was 1 point for every person that said hello. It was 5 point if you could to get them off their device to look up and say hello back. And then I said, "Hey, babe, imagine if someone invited them back to their house for coffee. What's that worth? Like 50 points? She's like, I'm going for it. Middle of city, in a cafe, talking to this guy, just loving him. "Hey, man, yes. Well, I live here. I'm just doing up my apartment. You want to come up and have a coffee and have a look?" I'm like, I win. It was amazing. But people are looking to be connected with. We have one of the loneliest cities in the world. We can just say hello, smile, connect, be kind. We're working. It says that he saw them and he had compassion.
Be people who care. Don't be motivated by an agenda. Please, I want to take the pressure off you as a church. There is no hidden agenda. Don't try and wrestle people into church. Love them. Love them because they need to be loved. Just love them. And then one day they'll want to come along with you and check it all out and see what it's about. But love them. Love them with pure motives. Have compassion and care. Be a listener. I'm working on that one. I'm a good talker. I don't listen that well sometimes. And so God's showing me how to listen better and how to stop and hear that the first thing is not the real thing. They often take time to unpack what's really going on in their world. And let's listen to people. I've got to close. Finally, it says, he saw that they were confused and lost. Let's solve people's problems. God's given you wisdom. If you know a situation, just get together with a few people and just, Lord, help us to see what the issue is and offer to help. Get your whole Connect group together to be a practical help and solve people's problems and their issues in their world. And listen, this is not hard, is it? We can all do this. You don't need a doctorate in theology. You don't need a certificate in ministry. You can just get out there and love people. And the Bible promises this. Because sometimes, you know, we go through seasons where we're tired. And I understand. Can I tell you, I understand we are not a new church. We can look to new churches and see all the people that are coming to Christ. And it's amazing. It's a move of God. It's awesome. But listen, I know we're not a new church. And so sometimes we've got tired. But what we don't do well at times, I think, is we get tired and it's kind of like, I'm out. I used to serve on team, but I'm not going to serve on team anymore. I need a break. Okay, that's cool. And you know what? I probably am going to have a break of Connect Group. That's cool. And you know what? I think I'm going to come to church once a month. Let's just do this better. If you're tired, that's okay. Take a break from team, but keep going to Connect Group. Just keep coming to church every week. Keep bringing your kids in. Keep serving God in some way. Stay connected. Stay connected to the purpose that God wants to outwork in your life. And I'll tell you why that's really important, because sometimes we're tired, so we think we need to step right back. The problem is Jesus said, I will refresh those that refresh others. And we think by completely disconnecting, we're somehow going to have a break and finally get peace. And all of a sudden, we're all anxious again, and we're worried again, and it's not working out. It's because you were created to love people, to serve people. And the only way you charge the battery in your car is if you drive it. And sometimes you want to drive it real fast and everything's going well, but sometimes you just got to take it for a little roll around the block. It's a little quieter, it's a little simpler. That's okay. Stay connected. Today, step four, we're talking to people that have gone through weeks 1, 2, and 3 and they've worked out their gifting. Listen, come and then join a team. Make a difference with us. Maybe you used to serve on a team here and you've had a break for a while and, oh, I don't really do much. I just stand on the door. What do you mean you don't do much? You can radically change someone's entire world just by the way you greet people that come into this church, because they've come in thinking that their church is going to be all religious and sticky like the one they used to go, and the people are going to be frowny and they won't let them sit down because that's their seat and they've been in that seat for 30 years and that's not going to move for that seat. And they've had all those, they have all those kind of preconceived, and suddenly they see this beautiful person just smiling. Welcome. And you go home and you talk to your friends or your family or your spouse and you're like, man, that was so good. Their life, you know, I just saw their heart open up and then they received Jesus. It was just beautiful. It was amazing. And we're alive in our purpose. God wants to activate you. He wants to activate your faith so that your faith is genuine, so that every single day of your life you're living with purpose. It might not always be glorious and rosy, but my goodness, it will have strength. It'll have purpose behind us.
Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.